The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride. Monarch Nation, we are here with another victory Sunday for ODU football. Old Dominion beats Appalachian State 24-21. But first, as always, I am joined here by Aaron, my co-host. And this week, we are blessed to be joined by the voice of ODU football and basketball. Sort of. I know that's Ted's moniker, so I can't really say that about you, but...
On ESPN Plus, you need to say on ESPN Plus.
The TV voice.
Yeah, the TV voice, right. TV voice is good. That's fine. Ted's the real voice. I'm just doing it part time. So yeah, as Ted doesn't get to do what I did yesterday, which is tailgate with and hang out with you guys during the game. Ted at work, but thanks to ESPNU, I did not work. But you know what? It was cool to watch a game from that level. I don't want to do it again this year, but I know I do have to do it at least one more time with the Thursday nighter. But hopefully they won't steal Georgia State from us.
I have a good faith that they won't, because you kind of need both teams to be in a decent position to put it on TV.
True that.
So they're not really holding up their end of the bargain this year. But it was great spending Saturday with you guys. Obviously, this is a weird game to talk about. It's hard to be upset when you win. But there's a lot of things to critique from yesterday.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, when you lose two in a row the way they lost two in a row, getting smashed, I mean, you can't be – if you'd have told me going into the day they're going to win this game, 24-21, I'm like, cool, let's go. But then you watch the game and you're like, God, this should be – they should be up by more, right? They should be taking care of the football and, got some breaks yesterday too. But, hey, won the game, hopefully, you live and you learn from it and get ready to go on the road.
So the best games to be critical, the ones that you win. Much better than the other way around.
100%, yeah.
So before the – we obviously can look at the yardage numbers for the total game, and you can look at it by half. But I would love to see what it was before the fourth quarter, because I think the yardage difference had to have been at least 200 yards at that point.
Yeah, that's when –
yeah, because we had a really good – yeah, good third quarter. We were talking about that, Mike, because, that was something we were really looking forward to after the last two games. Obviously, the Marshall game was what it was. But JMU, the third quarter is where things really kind of went south. So we had a good third quarter. Now, the fourth quarter, we kind of wasn't as productive this week. But we're making strides, right?
I would just say the defense for the first three quarters was very good. Obviously, those first two drives we had on defense, we bowed a lot, but we end up with those great interceptions in the red zone area. But other than that, App didn't really move the ball that much until the fourth quarter, and they went with that quarterback change.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the fact that there's a lot of new faces out there, too, for ODU. Look in the some depth guys. Obviously, you got a lot of Crutchfield in that game. Thought he held up well. They gave up some plays, but I thought overall they had to be happy with that. And as you guys said, they bowed a little bit, but made the plays in the red zone when they needed to. And, you got to win the giveaway takeaway. They've been getting beat in that area a lot. Obviously, a couple fortunate plays yesterday, the late hit takes away an interception, the fumble, the guy's feet are out of bounds and he doesn't recover it cleanly. But, it's more, I guess, that way you can say when you're with the staff this week, let's work on the turnover worthy plays, cutting those back, not necessarily turnovers, but turnover worthy plays, because that has been, even when they were winning earlier this year, there were a lot of those plays out there that could have hurt them.
Yeah, absolutely. Got lucky with a couple yesterday. I would also add in, we probably should have had that bomb to AR that was incomplete intercepted, because that was very underthrown.
Yeah.
I want to qualify what I'm about to say, that I did not have the best angle in the beer garden, but it did seem like that he was open, and it took quite a while for us to locate him. And by the time that happened, the ball was thrown and the defenders had time to be all over it. But he seemed to be, I've not been able to rewatch it, but that seemed to be something that should have been a touchdown there.
Yeah, without a doubt. I don't know. It's hard to critique a quarterback who throws for 300 yards just to a win, has multiple touchdowns, and only has the one turnover. But like you said, it should have been more than what we had. Really got bailed out with that late hit on Colton, too. And he got rocked on that one.
He got rocked. That was a cheap shot for sure. I mean, he definitely crown of the helmet right at the head in the jaw area. I mean, he's lucky he didn't get hurt. You don't want to see that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I think they've, you know, the receivers yesterday felt unstoppable at times, you know, the three big guys. Like, it felt like they could do whatever they wanted to, you know, with obviously the big day from Gladding, and obviously it was good to have Thomas back out there as well. And then, you know, I thought Brown had, you know, had some opportunities too. So those guys seem really good. The running game, I'd say, if I was going to be concerned about something, the running backs, right, in the running game, a little inconsistent the last few weeks, which is surprising because they were so good. Like, it didn't seem to matter, you know, who got the ball in the early part of the season, this first four games. So maybe there's some adjustments going on there around the Sun Belt with the way this team runs the football with the backs.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, and you know, the first five games or so, we're kind of able to do whatever we wanted from a running perspective, whether it was Colton. I mean, he was averaging, what, 9-10 yards carry. Obviously, Traquan was right up there too. Everybody was kind of doing what they want. They were, but there's been some adjustments made, like you're talking about, Scott, but we have to do the same, right? Like, if we're able to run, I don't think it's a fluke that you can go five games and run the ball so effectively, but clearly we've got to figure something out, because this team's not going to maximize its potential if we become just a only be able to throw the ball and not be able to run it consistently. Now, I mean, we did run for 154 yards. It's nothing to sneeze about, but it certainly felt like it was a difficult 154 yards.
So I would know it was App or with Marshall and GMU, they were stacking the box and daring us to throw, which makes running the ball very difficult. App, on the other hand, uses a four-man front and uses it very effectively, because then you just need your linebackers to go up in there and clean up the play, right? It seemed at times maybe we weren't picking the right angles. We talked about this last year a lot, where we were going gut a lot, where the yardage in this offense is outside the tackles. So if you can get outside, that's where the green grass is in this offense running the ball. But you have to get out there, and we only saw it a couple times yesterday. Devin Rochet's biggest run of the day, outside the tackles. You got to get outside the tackles in this offense, or you're just running into a space that has a ton of people in it, and it's going to be just a grind to get anywhere.
Yeah, and again, I just thought, like, early in the year, it just felt like, you know, the line was moving people and they were just getting whatever they wanted. But, you know, again, give some of these teams credit. They've seen this offense for a while now, you know, several weeks, and they've been able to do it. I mean, that being said, there were some good runs from, you know, Roche yesterday, and then obviously, you know, Jones had some as well. But overall, I just felt like the running game has not been quite where it was earlier in the season, you know what I mean? And obviously a lot of it is, you know, Colton being part of the running game, which is a huge part of it. And he was pretty effective at times yesterday too. But I think, you know, for them to get to, like you say, where they want to go eventually, I think, you know, we'd like to see both of those things clicking at the same time.
Yeah, I will add that when we were really successful, was early in the season with running the ball, that was a lot of pulls. Like, you got a lot of the tackles pulling. As those tackles get beat up throughout the season, they're maybe not getting out to that edge as quickly.
Sure.
So
that might be everybody. I mean, Colton ran the ball 18 times yesterday. You know how many yards he had?
62.
3.4 yards per carry. Much different than the first five games of the season.
Yeah.
So it might not be just the offensive linemen who get nicked up. And we mentioned that the Marshall game, like, he got tracked down. It's the first time we've seen that happen.
And it happened again last week at Madison.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough time of year. I mean, the grind in the middle of the year, and they're still a week away, right, from a bye week, which is not really your typical bye week because it's a partial bye week because then you get the Thursday night game coming into it. But, yeah, I mean, you probably still a little bit of wear and tear, right, I mean, on some of these guys. I mean, look, the quarterback in this offense is asked to do a lot of stuff, and he does it very well, you know. So, but there's the physical demand on it too, right? Like, we just think about, like, oh, you got to make the right reads, this, that. But there's also, like, yeah, man, but this guy is like running every play. He's taking hits. You know, it's no joke. I mean, it's no joke. You got to really, you got to really take care of yourself, you know, physically too. So, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. That's kind of stuff could add up over time as well.
I mean, I'm trying to look at what it is. I mean, he's already got 90 carries on the year. That's a pretty active year for a running back.
That's a lot, yeah. And he's got 26 more carries than the leading running back. Now, I know we have four guys who run the ball, but Traquan's got 64, Marquise's got 54, Devin's got 36.
Right, right.
And Bull has got 33. So
add in the 10 sacks. And now you're talking about, like, all right, so he's got six rushing TDs, so he's been 84 that ended in a tackle or him going out of bounds. And then another 10 sacks. That's 90-plus hits at the Division I level on your quarterback. That's a lot.
It's tough. I mean, I always marvel at these dudes. They make big plays, like running the football as a quarterback, and then they get back on the line of scrimmage. And, you know, this team's usually, you know, going right up to the line trying to get it going, and you're, like, trying to breathe. Hear whatever your coach is telling you in your headset, and then of course a lot of times in the plays it's up to him whether it's going to be a run or he's going to hand it off or he's going to keep it or he's going to throw it. I mean, it's just like, it's a lot, man. I mean, you know, sometimes I think we underestimate what these mobile quarterbacks are asked to do on the college level and even in the NFL now. I mean, we got now that in the NFL too. I laugh when I watch, you know, these games in the NFL, because all of the quarterbacks that are in the booth are a bunch of guys who are statues. Like, none of them are runners. Like, none of them can relate to some of the things that, like, Mahomes and, you know, Lamar Jackson are doing, let alone, you know, like that was not their game at all. You know, that wasn't what they were asked to do.
All right. So I think another big point of this game we had to talk about is special teams. Yeah. Obviously, in recent weeks, we've had a lot of special teams issues. We obviously had the fumble issues in Marshall. We had another big fumble last week. This week we have three missed field goals, and we have that fake punt. So there's four different issues yesterday that had a huge impact, and they ended up scoring a touchdown on that fake punt drive. Yep. Had we get the stop there, we're sitting at like the 42-yard line. We're probably scoring some points. So maybe we go to half. Maybe it's only 10-0. Maybe you don't score. But worst case scenario, you're up 10-0 at the half. Maybe it's 13 or 17-0 at the half. Instead, it's 10-7 at the half.
Exactly what's going on in Ricky's head. Because I don't have glasses into his skull, but three games in a row where there's issues, that's got to be bugging him, especially someone who's so focused on going 1-0 and kind of compartmentalizing and not affecting the next thing. Now we have three games in a row where we've had different kinds of special teams challenges. And in order for this team to get where it needs to go, that has got to get cleaned up. But it's like the shell game. It's like something different each week.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
You know, you got one thing hit down and then something else pops up. I mean, the kicking thing was weird. And, you know, I don't always want to just be the guy who blames the kicker because you don't know. I mean, the hold, the snap, I mean, it is an operation. The whole thing is literally an operation that they do there. But it is concerning because, you know, how it goes with kickers. I mean, that can start to get in their heads, you know, they like the success. You can be a guy who's ultra confident. You know, wish everybody could be Brandon Aubrey. And then you get that, or, you know, you can go the other way where it completely messes with you. I mean, he was a successful kicker last year. prior to coming to here, but you know, it's been tough for him this season. So that worries you as you go down the stretch. It really hasn't mattered. It was just weird because this team, you know, after setting the records for one score games, finally played one yesterday for the first time this year. It was the first one. Shouldn't have been a one score game, but it was the first one score game of the season. But yeah, I mean, at some point it may come down to a kick. I mean, I guess on the bright side, the punts were fielded cleanly, you know, that had been an issue, obviously. And to go back to Aaron's point, I know it's driving Ricky crazy because he talks about special teams all the time, and they prided themselves on being the team that takes advantage of other teams' special teams gaffes, right? I mean, they stop teams on fake punts, or they run a fake punt, or you know, block kicks. I mean, that's what they've been known to do. So the fact that they've had all these special teams things going on, I'm sure is going to be, again, another week of something they really dive into and try to figure out how they can clean it up.
Now, you reminded me of something we talked about yesterday, but I mentioned this to you while we were at the game, that I've never in my life thought anything about a punt return. If he just catches it and fair catches it.
Right.
And then now I feel a sense of relief when we just catch the ball.
Yeah.
It's weird how can change you mentally as a fan.
If you feel that way, you got to imagine how the guy who's receiving that punt is feeling, especially after you had some challenges at Marshall. You had so many challenges at the next game at JMU. They make a switch to something quite unconventional, and now they come back to you. So you're like, all right. But you said it went great yesterday. I was, you know, thrilled to see Devin back there, and he looked comfortable, which is great because we're going to need him to be able to do those sorts of things. I just hope from the field goal perspective, all the discussions that we've had with Jared Brown and talking about, you know, it's just obviously there's a section of it that's physical. You know, you got to have the technique. You got to go through and, like you're saying, Scott, it's a whole battery. Starts with the long snapper. You got the holder. You get this all mechanics and how it was really interesting. We talked after the bowl game, Mike, with Jared about how precise it is and the timing. So there's lots of things going on there. But the mental side of it is such a huge portion of it that, you know, him being able to get in the right headspace and have a great second half of the season is going to be important for this team.
I do wonder. So you mentioned the mental aspect of it. Devin gets the lion's share of the carries yesterday. It's the first time he's really gotten the lion's share of carries all season. And it makes you wonder if maybe that change allowed him to not obsess over that and do it more successfully, be more relaxed, you know? Because when you're standing on the sideline all game, and the only time you're really going is return kicks, I can imagine it gets kind of hard to be like, all right, this is my one thing. I need to just perfect it. It could probably cause you to make some more errors.
Yeah. And remember, we just got spoiled watching Isaiah Page do it so seamlessly, you know. He just like, okay.
It for granted.
Yeah, he took it for granted. And, you know, and also in Devin's case, to go back, you remember he didn't start the season, you know, remember was out for a bit. So then he comes in the first game, I believe, was at Virginia Tech, got into that game. And, you know, he did have a fumble in that game, but obviously came back, redeemed himself, had a touchdown later. And it was a great, great night, obviously, all around. And, you know, but he, you know, that's tough. I mean, coming in, missing some time, and then, you know, you need him to do this because he's your best guy. But, you know, as you say, maybe this is the kind of thing that builds that confidence. But I thought he ran with, you know, a little bit of oomph yesterday, though, when he got his opportunities. So that was good to see.
Sure.
Getting out there, getting a little bit more reps. It seemed like the first half that they were it was a two-man rotation, right? Like, and then they brought in Markai in the second half. I think I'm not sure if he got a first half. Maybe he got in there, but he didn't get a rep. I don't remember him running the ball in the first half, but it was kind of interesting. It was a little different than the way they usually do it. It felt like yesterday.
Yeah, but we always like to highlight the guys that have big games. And speaking of, Ketravion Hargrove has become like the jump stop king this year.
Yeah,
he's got what, like 3 catches for 170 yards or something like that.
It's the Pat Conroy play from last year.
Yeah, and I like that they've used it, the running back there this year.
Yeah, I love it. Because once he gets it, nobody's catching it, man. He's like, he's gone. I mean, there was no chance for that kid. That kid was running hard too, but you're not catching that guy from behind. Great play.
Aaron, were you going to say the number? That's 5 for 171.
Yeah, but I don't even need to. It doesn't matter. It's a lot. It's a little for a lot. I want more of it.
Yesterday is the first time we tried it twice in the same game, too. Because
yeah,
we hit Mark I later in the game.
I got a 10-yard or 11-yard. Yeah, it was a little shorter, but it was they kind of wised up on that one. But yeah, it is the first time. I think you're right. Because again, if they're going to, you know, run that safety down there at you, you know, you got to do it. I mean, just it leaves the middle of the field open. I love the play because now it's been done enough where teams are like on their heels. They're going to have to be on their heels a little bit. Or else.
Yeah.
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 And the play's so good that Marshall stole it.
That's right.
Yeah, and then JMU kind of ran something like it last week too. I know it's making me you guys both seen Billions, right?
Yeah, the TV series, yeah.
Yeah. So in the last season, when Prince has the whiteboard and he's talking about all the I can't remember exactly what he's called, but basically gaming things out, the first decision and what the next guy thinks you're going to do. So you move to the next thing and thinking ahead. So now that you've done this jump pass multiple times, obviously the defense is scheming for it. So as an offensive coordinator or Ricky, and I'm thinking, okay, what are they going to do to combat this? So then what can we do to play off of it where we've got just all the different potential iterations of it now that you've got it on tape and to go, how do we exploit it and use it and go somewhere else? And it's kind of interesting to think about.
Game theory it out.
Yeah.
But yeah. Big fan of Bull Hargrove and what he's been able to do with that one play. Obviously you mentioned AR having a huge game, 8 catches for 105 yards and a touchdown. Ja'Cory Thomas has maybe one of the toughest touchdown runs we've seen from a receiver at Old Dominion in quite a long time. 6 catches for 65 yards. And then Trey Brown, obviously, being productive as a receiver. And then Mark I gets a couple catches. And then we see Jalen Butler got a couple. So a little bit of – everyone's kind of pitching in here. Great win for Old Dominion. Other than those mishaps – and we kind of controlled this game from the beginning until the fourth quarter. It feels like we should have won this easily, but we won.
You're right. But we won.
Yeah. If you think about it, if App maybe goes that quarterback change a little bit earlier, does this game look more like a Wake Forest type game, you know? It makes you wonder.
Yeah, I thought defensively, ODU, for the most part, did a good job making them one-dimensional, too. You know, and granted, some of it was they got behind and they didn't, you know, they felt like they had to throw a lot. But I also didn't think there was, you know, much there in the running game for App yesterday either. So that was a positive thing with, you know, again, with a lot of different parts in there, you know, players. And, you know, throughout this season, we've had, you know, they had to rely on their depth. But I thought those guys all pretty much did a good job, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage and not letting that be too, you know, not letting them be a balanced offense.
They won it all. I mean, they threw the ball 54 times. You know how many times they ran it?
Was it 18, I think, or something like that?
18 times. Now, 5 of those are from QB1 for 1 yard. I mean, I won't call them true rushes. You know, so we did really force them to be one dimensional.
Yeah. I mean, I think they could have ran the ball more than they did. I think maybe they just fell in love with the pass play. Cause I mean, they still averaged 4.1 yards per carry and their lead running back was averaging almost 6 yards a carry. They probably could have ran the ball more if they wanted to.
Well, they should have, cause they only passed for 5.6 yards per pass.
Yeah.
You ain't going to win a lot of games throwing 54 passes for 5.5 yards.
Not normally. No, that's not a good formula.
Yeah.
Not a good formula.
Yeah, but it was good for us to kind of slow Cole down after he'd been playing pretty well. Yeah. Defense deserves a lot of credit for that win yesterday.
Yeah, I thought they were really good. And the takeaways were huge, obviously, especially in the red zone.
And speaking of takeaways, I mean, we had a couple guys who were out yesterday. I mean, Botrus was out for the game. Brian Ramey comes in, gets his first start, right? Gets a big interception. I mean, and then Rome got the other one, right? Jerome Carter comes up with a – is that his third on the season? Or am I thinking Carter of somebody else? Like, he's been playing really good ball. Both he and AR were in the post game yesterday, and it's really great asking those guys questions. You can see the confidence in them. They're very good representatives of not only the team but the school. They're bought in 100% to what the coaching staff is trying to build there.
It's also cool to have two second year guys at the desk after the game is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shows you how they've developed as both players and leaders on the team at a young age. Because usually we're only seeing seniors in that room.
Yeah, or QB1. Like, Colton's in there a lot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and those guys, if you didn't know, you'd have thought they were seniors.
Absolutely. I thought Fred Giles had a pretty good game on the defensive line, creating some pressure. He does some really good things as a defensive end, and his athleticism gives him some issues. Javon Gibson, same thing, number 36. He was giving the offensive line for App some issues. I don't know. There's a lot to like yesterday. Ricardo Williams got a big sack.
I know, man. All I could think of when I saw that was him talking about his mama's cooking, Mississippi cabbage, not the box cornbread, all the good stuff. He was hyped too. And he ran off the field, and the dudes were dapping him up. Like that guy.
I mean, that's the lone sack we had, so only two tackles for loss.
I felt like they had more sacks than that. It must have been, they had a lot of pressure, I felt like, yesterday. But, to only have one sack was a little surprising with the amount of pressure they had at times yesterday.
I think it's those five cold rushes for 1 yard. It felt like sacks.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I thought like Frank on the back end, he was really active. He was in a lot of the tackling too. And then mentioned Crutchfield earlier. I thought, competed back there as well. And he'd been playing before yesterday too, but he obviously was the guy with Botros out. He'd play a lot more. So I think the depth did, showed out well, but I expect that because they played a lot of these guys. I mean, Lucas Strux played a lot. Jackson Forrest has been playing a lot all season. So they build up this depth, in those games early in the year when they're playing these big, with big personnel groups, which is smart because they can keep your guys fresh. I mean, it's college football, man. There's a lot of snaps. there's so much offense and so much passing. I mean, it's hard to, not have depth and expect to be successful as a defense.
It's also allowed us to recover from the portal a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Because you're already getting guys that are backups some playing time. So when the guy ahead of them leaves, they can kind of step into that role.
Oh, yeah. No question.
All right. You got any more closing thoughts on this game before we move to the Afterglow ad? And figure.
Yeah, I do. Not many, but I'll say it was cool to see Nick Salvadori yesterday. Came back home for homecoming. Was super cool chatting with him. Him walking around in his ODU Letterman jacket. So, folks, keep an eye out for the Monarchist podcast. The three of us are going to get together and chat with Nick here soon. Also, a bunch of people ran into Taylor in the parking lot. He's just a dude, man.
Yeah, he is.
Sitting there by the Afterglow tent. Mike had to fix him up the week before. And I don't know. Did you pull like a Miller Lite out of his hand and make sure he had a good beer?
I think it was. Yeah, I made sure he got a Monarch in his hand so he could taste a good craft beer from Norfolk.
Yeah. By the way, gluten reduced as well, for those of you that need that. I was very happy to hear that from Josh yesterday that all their beers are like that now. So I feel perfectly fine today after crushing some. So thank you very much for doing that, man. Cause it sucks when you can't go out and just have a beer anymore. So it's always nice when those opportunities come up.
And I think my last parting shot from yesterday, although Big Blue kicked his ass a couple times, Yosef, the mascot for App State, was a true professional, having fun with all the kids and all the fans, and it was really, really cool taking pictures with everybody. So I know I got a picture with, I think Mike's ball cap on top of him. So hopefully he didn't get fired. Please don't App State if you did, because he was awesome with all the fans. And it was really cool seeing him and Big Blue get together and kind of play off each other, take pictures, get some videos. That's some of the fun stuff of the game, behind the game. It was really cool. That's all I got.
Yeah. I will say I asked him to do a dance challenge, and Yosef came through with some good moves. Big Blue disappointed in this area. So I'm going to need Big Blue to spend some time with the Dynasty dancers and learn some moves, because it's unacceptable to have a mascot in this day and age that can't dance.
Well, Big Blue is old. You know, I mean, you got to remember, Big Blue is an old mascot.
It's true.
He had like a birthday a few years ago. He's like, you know, I don't want to say his age. It's tacky to talk about mascots' ages, but anyway, he's been around a while. He's not, you know, he's not a young kid anymore.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. Let's take this break, Aaron.
All right. So we're going to go to the break, and then you got Fade Gary after it?
That's right.
What's up, Monarch fans? I am back with your Week 10 Fade Gary picks. Really appreciate whichever Paul brother that was filled in for me last week, because it went 2-1. So we're 13-15-2 on the season, trying to go 3-0 this weekend to get back on top. First one I've got for you, Thursday night, a Sun Belt matchup, Marshall at Coastal Carolina, taking over 54.5. Coastal's offense has figured it out. Marshall can obviously put up points, as ODU fans witnessed firsthand a couple of weeks ago. So take that over 54.5. I like it all the way up to 55.5. Second pick, we're going to go with a great, probably the best matchup of the week, Navy at North Texas on Saturday. We're taking over 64.5. Navy has a prolific offense, but they can't stop anyone defensively. North Texas offense is really good. This should be a really fun shootout in the American on Saturday. Final pick, we're going late night in the Big 12. Cincinnati is getting 7.5 points at Utah. I do think Utah wins this game, but it's going to be within a field goal. So take the Bearcats plus 7.5. They are legit and potentially could be pipelining their way to the college football playoffs. Good luck this weekend, everybody, and go Monarchs.
All right. I'm just reading now. Brian Kelly's getting fired.
Yes, he gone.
I mean, did you see last night when he was walking off the field? They're like, I don't know if it was the AD, but somebody in administration like stopped him and was having a discussion before he could even get in the tunnel. It looked like it was done.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It is wild, man. You know, think about that terrible press conference you have when he faked a Cajun accent to now. Yeah. I mean, my goodness, it's just been a weird fit, man. I mean, here's a crazy thing about it. Penn State hired him next week. Would I think it was a bad hire? No. I mean, I still think the guy could coach somewhere. For the LSU thing just wasn't a good fit for him. I wonder who LSU has got their eyes on, because I don't think you do that at LSU if you don't have a real good lean. There is a guy who, of course, has been just counting his money, making, you know, from Texas A&M that's out there that, you know, I'm surprised hasn't, you know, jumped back in the game yet, that I would imagine is going to be on a top of a lot of people's call sheets, in Jimbo Fisher.
What about the guy from Tulane? I mean, he's just been winning everywhere he goes.
That would make a lot of sense.
Multiple offers, right?
That'd make a lot of sense. I mean, he understands the culture of that state. No, all he does is win. I mean, the Carolina people I know are still ticked off that they didn't just do that instead of doing what they did. But they wouldn't have got all the publicity. So,
Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah.
That's the tough part about going all in on a coach like Belichick or Brian Kelly. It's when it blows up in your face, everyone's telling you, you shouldn't have done this.
Right.
You should have known the fit wasn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So this week, Old Dominion makes the long trip to Monroe, Louisiana, to take on the Warhawks of ULM. Game starts at 3:30. It'll be on the Plus, I believe, right?
Yes, yeah, Plus.
And, yeah, this is our first time going to ULM, but we're kind of – we have a little track record in that that area because this school is just down the road from Louisiana Tech. So that's we've been to this part of the country before and left with wins. The line opened up at 13.5. It got steamed up to 14.5, Old Dominion. So what do you guys think?
You know, it was important to get back on track this week. We did. Obviously, you've heard chatter out there that we should have won by more, blah, blah, blah. We just spent a half hour talking about that. And that's probably true. But what better way to learn than to learn while winning? And I think this win gets things back on track. It gets the guys' mind right. And honestly, a road trip is probably not a bad thing. Those guys to just spend time together and kind of block out some of the distractions that they would have at home. As you go down there, you win that game. And now you're what? 6-3? Bowl eligible? Have we ever been bowl eligible at this time? Before Bobby? You know, that 110-win season?
I believe that season we started 4-3. So I would imagine we were 6-3. I don't know. So
yeah.
This would be obviously the fastest, you know, in a lot, obviously under Ricky or, you know, just the recent years. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. I mean, I think this is a us, not them game. You know what I'm saying? I think this is like, I don't need to know a ton about Louisiana Monroe to know what it looks like for ODU to win this football game. And a lot of it is based on cleaning up the mistakes, right? I mean, just kind of playing cleaner football than you did the last two times you're on the road where you hurt. I mean, you gave yourself literally no chance at Marshall with all the turnovers. I mean, every time something good would happen, something bad would happen. Madison, that second half was nightmare juice with all the mistakes that kept popping up. But I mean, I just think you just got to play a clean football game. And like you guys said, I mean, we've seen this squad over the last several years have some really, really good road wins. Heck, this year, Virginia Tech was a really good road win. You know, and I know that they haven't had the year everybody thought they would. It's still a very good road win. The way they handled it, the way they played, the way they executed. I mean, everything about it was great. And when they did make mistakes, you know, the kind of bouncing back from it and not like sulking and just making plays. I mean, they got to find that formula, road formula, because that was a really good one. And I mean, I think there were some good things from the Indiana game on the road too. This offense wasn't really quite ready for prime time at that point. But I go back to whatever you guys did to get ready for that Tech game, you know, however you slept, whatever you wore, that's what you need at Monroe this week.
So a couple things I want to talk about is this is a very difficult place to play. Not because of the crowd,
right,
or any of that, or the quality of the opponent, but the location and the stadium. The closest hotel that will accommodate Old Dominion football is in Shreveport, Louisiana. That is a 90-mile drive from the stadium. Like, that's not great. You're spending an hour and a half just driving to the game. Yep. Secondly, their locker room is tiny. The visitor locker room only fits 50 people. I've been told they had to change in groups because everyone can't change in a locker room at once when you only have space
for 50 people. Rotate.
Yeah. And then obviously it makes it harder to have meetings with your players and their groups. So it's just – it throws off every team that has a routine. Makes them create a new one just for this one game.
It's wild.
And it led to them beating JMU at home last year. And I think if you go back over the years, there's always like one team they beat at home. You're like, how'd they do that?
Yeah, it's true.
They beat Arkansas State.
They already beat A-State, so we'll count that.
Yeah, they already had their one.
Was that at home?
Yes.
All right, that might be the one.
That's it.
It's got to be. That's what we're going to roll with.
Tapped out.
All right. The other thing I want to talk about, because I keep forgetting to talk about it, is our red zone woes offensively. Obviously, we need to protect the ball better, and that's something we need to clean up because we're dead last. We've had more turnovers than any other team in the country right now.
Yeah.
But we're not much better in red zone offense.
Did that start at Marshall, or were we struggling already?
Well, I mean,
Liberty would be the game that kind of really jumped out.
Yeah, that was turnover related too. Remember, I mean, they fumbled twice on the 1 yard line.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean that'll kill you every time. But I mean, the turnovers and the red zone have kind of gone hand in hand. And just yesterday, though, at least there weren't turnovers in the red zone, but there were missed field goals. You know. Or having to settle for field goals that end up being missed field goals, I should say.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a team that has the talent that we do and the ability to run the ball that we do, we should be a much more effective offense in the red zone. And we just haven't found that right mix of play calls to get those easy touchdowns that we should be once we get into that area of the field.
Ball protection, ball protection is a huge part of it, but also when you have an explosive quarterback, like a dual threat quarterback, absolutely should be a really good red zone team. That's what is a little bit frustrating. And then maybe sometimes too, maybe not the greatest short yardage running team either, like just jamming it in there, being down and dirty, struggle with that at times. That might attribute to some of that, but you got big receivers. I mean, you got receivers that are long. You'd think you could throw fades to, 50-50 balls, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the guys in there that would get out muscle people, out, body them up. So it is surprising that the numbers haven't been good. But I think a lot of it's skewed from some of those turnovers, but still, it's no excuse for yesterday and some of the other games where they just haven't quite gotten it done there.
I'm just mildly lack
of execution.
Yeah.
I'm mildly concerned a little bit too. Just yesterday, we had that one in the red zone towards the the north end zone. Colton's running to the right early in the season. I think he gets into the end zone easily. He probably just tucks that ball and goes. But yesterday, he doesn't, and he throws back across the field to AR high and behind him. So I don't know. We were alluding to it earlier that, just like the lineman, he maybe nicked up a little bit too. So, I don't know. I think normally that's a touchdown, but I don't know what we're going to have going forward there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really just all comes down to execution. You can also look at that interception in the fourth quarter yesterday where he hikes the ball and almost immediately throws the slant pass. It gets batted up in the air and intercepted.
But if you go back, play after the one we were just talking about. It's the next play, I think.
Yeah. Well, that play, if even without it getting batted down, that's probably still a pick, in my opinion. There was a safety and there was a corner right with AR on the play. So, I don't know. There was a few plays that he could have walked in.
Sorry to pull you back into that game. I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, it's fine.
My fault.
We got to get better in the red zone. That's all it really comes down to. We got to execute better.
Yes, on offense. I'm looking at this game yesterday at ULM with Southern Miss, and I'm looking at what Southern Miss was able to do both on the ground and receiving, and it reminds me a lot of what we can do. I mean, they ran for just under 200 yards. It was really primarily three running backs kind of split relatively evenly and then a little bit from the quarterback, and then Braxton threw for 250 yards, four touchdowns, just under 11 yards per. That sounds a lot like what we're used to seeing with Colton in this offense.
Yeah, Huff has that team playing very well right now. They're 4-0 in the Sun Belt now.
I feel like they're the champions last year because they're really the champions last year because they're wearing different uniforms. They're the defending champions still.
Yes.
Took the whole team, the staff. I mean, what a wild world we live in when that happens in your conference.
Aaron, I will point out that they did a good job containing Braylon as a runner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 11 carries for 20 yards. They really did.
That's something to keep an eye on for this game. The other thing I will point out is their usual starter this year has been Aiden Armenta. He's been their quarterback in every game except for yesterday. Landon Graves was the starter. Landon Graves started the season as their third-string quarterback. Their backup is also dealing with an injury, so he got his first start of his career or his first start of the season yesterday, and he had a tough game. 12 for 26, 103 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions. ULM seems to be missing their star running back they had last year all season long this year. Ahmad Hardy.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Although yeah, I don't Zach think it's Palmer's a coincidence Smith
did have a good game.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence the teams that have a good seasons are not playing quarterback relay in this conference. Like they've locked in on their guy and their guys are getting better and staying healthy. The ones that are rolling, of course, James Madison's quarterback being first and foremost, Alonzo Barnett, which is crazy to think. Injured his knee that late in the year and can do what he's doing and not wearing a knee brace. I mean, it's like bionic, man. Dude's like bionic, man. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, like ODU's obviously got Colton healthy. And, you know, once Marshall picked their quarterback, things have gotten better for them when they're going with the right guy, you know, and keeping him on the field. So
it's important.
And
I was going to go into Armenta, but.
No, all I was going to say is before Monarch Nation asks us, like, we don't know who's going to start this game. Like, we don't know.
Right.
And then maybe that's where you were going is injury-wise. Like, who knows?
So, I didn't do any analysis on Landon Graves because all he has is that one start.
Yeah.
So, it's a really small sample size against a very good Southern Miss team. So, I thought we would look at the projected starter. I mean, the guy who's led the way all season long because I don't think he has a serious injury. We just know he didn't play last week. This is what you need to do. We say it every week. You got to get some pressure on the quarterback because it's a different guy when he's under pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need to keep showing this every week, Aaron, but
I think it's good. I think it's good to show. I think what I find interesting here, too, is obviously when he's under pressure, he's really challenged. Like, I mean, we're going into – the 20s in the low 30s, more than 40% drop off or 40-point drop off. But even when he's blitzed, even if they don't get to him and they don't necessarily pressure him, he's feeling it anyways. He's seeing it, that perceived pressure, even if it's not real pressure. So I would be shocked if Siler doesn't dial up things that come from different directions. Because like you said, Mike, this is Armenta. This is the starter. I can only imagine if Graves is playing that the numbers are probably even be more because the kid just hasn't had nearly the amount of opportunities that Armenta's had to kind of get a sea legs.
I will add, because this is a common discussion point for us as Old Dominion fans, is he a mobile quarterback? And the answer would be no.
Good.
Aiden Armenta has ran the ball 31 times for 43 yards. Good for 1.4 yards per carry. Very similar to the kind of numbers we were seeing from J.J. Cole before we played App State. And that's a quarterback we were able to contain and put into tough positions all game long. And it led to him being benched for for Swan, the other starter.
Yeah.
Hunter Herring, the second string quarterback for ULM, he's ran the ball 18 times for 49 yards, a little bit better, 2.7 yards per carry, but still not great. Landon Graves is the best runner of the three of them. He's got 14 carries for 70 yards and 5 yards per carry. I would say that's probably the guy we don't want to see as a game-long quarterback maybe, but I don't know. It's tough to say. I just know that we struggle with running quarterbacks, and yeah. I don't think there's any argument there. Here's another thing we took a look at last week. I'm bringing it back because I think it was a better visualization of what we're heading into.
And this was popular, Mike. I got feedback from a few people that like what you're doing here, kind of stacking both sides of the balls and where the opportunities might be.
All right. So first up, we're looking at ULM's offense versus our defense. Their offensive line, their left tackle is having a very difficult season. And their right tackle is not doing that much better. But if you look at the left guard, he's got a score of 67. It's not terrible, but I think you'd want to attack the left side of this offensive line. It's going to be Armenta's blind side. Obviously the blind side is where you want to attack anyways, but it's where the weak points are. Obviously, we're going to have to contain number zero, Tyler Griffin. His scores are off the charts. Statistically, he only has 12 catches for 163 yards, but maybe hasn't had as many opportunities. But that's a really good PFF score to be concerned about. And then their starting running back, Braylon McReynolds, is having a pretty good season. He's got 473 yards on the year, 5.8 yards per carry. Then 10 catches for 64 yards. So he's not that big of a threat out of the backfield, but as a pass catcher, but he is a good running back. Other than that, I mean, it's not a whole lot to be concerned about here.
Except for my eyesight. I can't see any of that.
You got to put it up on the 85-inch big screen. But yeah, I'm Scott, like, hit it.
Scott, you can't full screen the StreamYard.
I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, Scott, though, that this game is more about us and less about them. The team needs to just focus on what we need to do correctly in executing, and everything will be fine. If we follow the game plan, if we can do what the coaches want to do, then we're going to win this game. If we don't, then anybody can beat us.
Yeah, if you're going to turn it over and be charitable like you were in Marshall and the second half of Madison, then yeah, you're asking to be beat. But you look at this team when they've been rolling and they've they execute this offense the way it can be executed. They're running and then you're putting teams in weird positions in space with these big receivers that they can't stick with them. This offense, I mean, when they execute is beautiful. So, I mean, I just kind of feel like that's how I look at every week. It's like, all right, is this team going to play clean? If they are, then boom, this offense is going to do what they can do. And then defensively, I think you've nailed it. I mean, when they're getting pressure on teams and then you keep, like any defense, if you can make somebody one dimensional, then you're going to have a much better chance of creating opportunities. And it was good to see the turnovers come back yesterday for this defense too. That was great because kind of felt like at Madison, we maybe had a couple that they let slip through their fingertips literally. And then, Marshall as well, where, it could have been game changing kind of plays, but this was big yesterday to come away with the ones they did.
And yeah. I will say this team, ULM, has lost four in a row. They're 3-5 on the year, which doesn't sound, obviously they still have a chance at a bowl here, but when you've lost four in a row and most of them have been blowouts, this team's close to just quitting. And if we punch them in the mouth a couple times, they might just quit.
Yeah, you can't keep them in the game. Yeah, 100%. You jump on them and stay on them. Yeah, that's the way to go. I think you saw that with Coastal. I think you saw that a little bit with Coastal. Yeah. I wouldn't say they quit, but there was some things going on in that game with their quarterback and their running back got knocked out. Was their best guy, and they were off balance the whole game. They're a mess, and again, ODU created that by really coming after them and getting on them, which was nice to see. But yeah, hopefully this game will get some of that confidence back, that swagger back, because I think our skill guys know what they can do, right? I think the skill guys and the defensive, I think, are very confident. It's just again, just stop hurting yourself, stop beating yourself, and I think these things will take care of themselves.
All right. Well, we'll do this just because we can. I look at the RO versus their D. For me, I'm looking at their secondary. Our receivers have been fantastic. They're great athletes. This secondary poses a lot of opportunities for these great receivers. I mean, I just see almost every person in the secondary we have the edge on.
Yeah, I mean, our scores are better than everybody. Then you got Canterbury, who seems that, you know, to be susceptible. And we've got three number ones. Ja'Cory, Trey, AR. Any of those three guys any day could be the number one kind of guy. So pick your poison on defense. So who's, you know, somebody is going to find themselves open. Shit, we saw it in this last game. We had people open that we didn't hit. So we need to do that. I think there's a lot of opportunity. I think that we can do exactly what Southern Miss did to ULM this past week. So you feel pretty good about it.
We just got to worry about my cousin at linebacker.
Got another Langston out there? Where's the Zielinski?
There's a lot of Polish football players.
Probably carrying a clipboard for the trainer. Not even for a coach.
But yeah, this poses a lot of opportunities for us. I think we should have a lot of fun on Saturday. Speaking of fun, we're going to be back at Afterglow this Saturday. Me and Aaron, for the first time in a while. What's he grabbing over here?
Yeah, you guys got to stay off the road. You've been bad luck. Don't go on the road anymore.
Well, we will not be there this week. We'll be at Afterglow. They will have El Monarch in cans and on tap if you want to come try it. We will have prizes to give away. We'll have signed footballs from ODU legends like Taylor Heineke and Zach Pascal to give away. We'll be giving out prizes every quarter. We've had a great turnout this season. This is an opportunity for us to have a real big party on Saturday, cheer these guys on, and hopefully we can celebrate us having a bowl in the bank at the end of this game.
Because that would be pretty nice.
How long has it been since we didn't have to sweat it out in the last week of the season?
Whew. Last decade, probably.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I'd love to be able to put that behind us and just stack on top of it the rest of the way.
A little bit. Right. I think they'll be favored. Do you think they'll be favored every game the rest of the way? If you just look at it right now.
The only one that they might not be, because of the way the season's going, is maybe Troy.
Yeah.
Troy is playing some fantastic football lately.
Yeah.
But that game, we're coming off a bye.
Right.
Ricky is a monster. He coming is. Off byes.
He is. Troy is coming off a bye for the trip. But old Ricky and his bye record is fantastic.
Yeah, but I was just thinking the other day after, you know, when I saw the app line, and I was like, I actually don't think they'll be an underdog. Maybe the Troy game. Yeah. The rest of the way, even with the two setbacks the previous 2 weeks. So, but yeah, whatever that means anymore. It's interesting though. But I think people understand how good this team can be when they see it at its best, because they have, you know, because of what they saw prior to the previous 2 weeks with the road losses.
100%.
I will say ESPN Analytics has us right now at 68.7% to win that game against Troy. Yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah. So
ESPN Analytics loves this team. I mean, Connolly loves him. I mean, he's been on him early in the year, even before the success was there. So, you know, whatever that means, but, you know, it's cool. It's better to be the other way.
Yeah.
I want to remind folks that our Toys for Tots fundraiser is that Troy football game. So if you're coming to Troy on that Thursday night, please bring some toys or bring some cash. We want to make this the best year yet. Make a lot of kids happy in Hampton Roads. These toys do all stay in Hampton Roads. So they're going to kids who could be fans, future students of Old Dominion, or even future athletes for Old Dominion. So pitch in. Let's make this a great one and make these this Christmas a very happy one for kids all throughout Hampton Roads.
Every year we've done this, it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. Yep. We've been able to reach more families. Support more families. It's really, really cool to see. This is a difficult time of year every year for a lot of families. This year, even more so with the government shutdown, Hampton Roads having so many people who are affected by it. So if you have the ability to support, we would love We would love for you to be able to do that. We will make it very easy to do that, whether it, like Mike, you said, whether it's toys, whether it's cash. I think last year we even had QR codes. So if you forgot your cash, you were able to digitally send money to Hampton Roads Toys for Tots. I think that's what the official term is, but we appreciate all the support everyone has given over like the last 5 or 6 years while we've been doing this, but we need you this year even more than ever.
And I will add this, if you are one of the folks that parks at the TED and walks over to Kauffman Mall to tailgate and you don't want to lug all those toys, but maybe you come to basketball games, you can bring the toys to those basketball games, the women's and men's game that week. Men play at Tuesday that week. Women play on Wednesday. So you can bring the toys those days. We will collect them there. So you have a lot of opportunity to contribute and donate to the Toys for Tots. We appreciate everyone's support on this, and we can't wait to see what you guys do this year to surprise us. Very excited about that. And this week's going to be an exciting one with some new announcements coming out.
Yes. Very exciting.
Fun times to be.
Scott looks here. Very excited.
All right. Driving all day, sorry.
You're good, buddy. Scott, I want to thank you so much for joining the show today. Do you have a prediction for this game?
Yeah, I think ODU wins. I think they win pretty big too. I think they win by a couple scores. I like them. Put up some points, in the 30s. And have a good time down there in Louisiana, despite the awkward locker rooms that you explained to us earlier.
All right. Aaron, do you have a prediction?
You know, I did not do that this week because I wanted us just to win and get on track. This week, I do have one for you. After looking at the Southern Miss game, I think that we do a lot of the same things to ULM that Southern Miss. I'm going with the exact same score that happened there, 49-21. I think we just blow the doors off of ULM. The team gets back on track, 6-3, bowl eligible, and the fan base can kind of take a pause from thinking about what happened a couple weeks ago. We won't. It's like, wait, what is it? We'll forget, or we can't forget, but we'll forgive. I can't remember. You know, we know what happened against JMU, but we're looking ahead. We still got an opportunity for a 9-win season, but we win here significantly. And before you give your prediction, I just want to throw a shout out. The men's soccer team played Marshall tonight at home. Marshall, the number 9 team in the country, to a 0-0 tie. But ODU dominated that game. So hats off to Tennant and the fellas. Right. Good game there as they move closer to the Sun Belt tournament.
Yeah, always good to get a point. I mean, I hate ties, but soccer tie is not a bad thing. My prediction. So Scott hinted at it. We need to get the running game going. I think this is a game. We kind of saw it in the game against App, where we're trying to do some more ball control, some more with their injuries kind of stacking up on us, especially on defense. It's a good thing for our offense to have long, sustained drives. So I think we're going to commit to the run for another week in a row. Because we ran the ball 45 times last week. I think we'll see that like 45, 50 type number this week again. And you'll see us rack up the running yards against this ULM defense. I don't know if we'll have the score that Aaron thinks. But I think we'll win this handily. Let's say something like 31-21. I think we're going to have a fun week. And we're going to see someone out of our backfield have a very big day.
Take that.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the season, it's all about management, right? You have to manage where your injuries are and try to limit them moving forward while executing your offense and defense. And one of the easiest ways to do that right now is to run the ball down these guys' throats. So let's do it.
Let's do it.
Thank you again, Scott, for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Monarch fans and Monarchist fans for tuning in. We really appreciate all your support. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Thank you.